This morning, you're invited to open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Hear now these words. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken there these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he'd be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astonished us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted with to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. All right, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about on the road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. Now, here we have two individuals who are very sad and depressed. You might say shell-shocked. They had gone up to Jerusalem for the Passover, which I've said that is like the Jewish version of our 4th of July. And instead, things went horribly wrong. When on Thursday night, Jesus was arrested, and on Friday, he is condemned, sentenced to the cross, crucified, and then just before sunset, is hastily buried in place in the tomb. All that happened within such a short period of time, and you think about how hard it would be to process that. Yeah. I think about how this past week, I believe it's at Sweetwater at the train tracks, they had a very tragic incident there. And some of the folks on Facebook has seen it and talking about how it was just happening all at once and they were still processing it. And here it is, you go to Jerusalem, think you're going to have a good time, and instead everything falls apart. And so Cleopas and his buddy, it might have been his wife, are leaving Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. And a stranger comes and joins them. And the stranger asks a question. "What you talking about?" Remember that TV show we were talking about, Willis? "What you talking about?" They looked at him and said, "Buddy, where you been at? Don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem the past few days?" And the stranger says, "Well, tell me about it. What things?" Think about the times in the Gospels Jesus kind of plays dumb like a teacher does, right? Just asks these questions because he's trying to get information out of you. And they said, "About Jesus of Nazareth, man, we thought he was a prophet. He was mighty in word and deed, and we had hoped he'd be the one to redeem Israel. But instead, he was arrested by the high priest and his buddies, handed off to Pontius Pilate, crucified and buried. And that was 3 days ago. And this morning, some women went to the tomb to give him proper burial. And they came back telling this crazy tale about the body was missing, the tomb was empty, there was angels, messengers from the Lord who said he was alive. And so some of the men folk went down to check on it. They found the empty tomb, but they didn't find Jesus. And so we don't know what's going on." And then the stranger says, "Oh, how foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe all the prophets had declared." And he must say it in a way that was not insulting. I feel like somebody told that to me. We said, "You keep on walking," right? But what did he do? He said, "Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And so on that road to Emmaus, Jesus had a little Bible study. Think about that. A 7-mile Bible study. That'd be like walking down Eureka Trail, or maybe 411, and walking with Jesus. And he said, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself and all the scriptures." Okay. So what did he tell them? Now, obviously I wasn't there, but I have some good ideas. Maybe start in the very book of Genesis. When the Lord tells Eve, "You shall have a descendant, and this serpent, this entity, will wound his heel, that he shall crush his foot." In other words, he'll be victorious, but there will be an injury involved. And then later on, we get to the story of Abraham. Do you remember how Abraham, the Lord told him in chapter 22, "Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a sacrifice." And on their way up the mountain, little Isaac was carrying the wood on his shoulders and said, "Father, where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide a lamb." And the author of Hebrews said, Abraham has such great faith at this point, he believed even if he had killed his son, God would raise him up from the dead. That was a foreshadowment of Jesus bearing his cross on Mount Calvary, dying for our sins and being brought back because he was the Lamb. And then maybe he said, "Don't you remember how in the book of Exodus, on that last night in Egypt, how the Lord told Moses, 'Moses, take the blood of the innocent lamb, a perfect lamb, and put it on the doorposts. And when the angel of death sees that, he will pass over.'" That's what we call a Passover. "And in the meantime, I want you inside eating a meal. Because tonight you go to bed as slaves, but tomorrow you wake up as a free nation." In the same way, the Messiah would be like the lamb whose blood causes death to pass over and broke the chains to sin and slavery. And what about in the book of Numbers? Remember in the book of Numbers how the people rebelled against the Lord, complaining, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And the Lord sent in serpents into the camp. And these serpents were divinely programmed to only bite those individuals who'd been complaining. And so the people turned to Moses and said, "Moses, tell the Lord we're sorry." Moses said, "The Lord, Lord, people are sorry." And the Lord said, "Moses, make a serpent out of bronze and sit on the post and tell the people who've been bitten, if they'll lift their eyes to that serpent, they'll be healed. For just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, So must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin, so we may have forgiveness for our sin. Okay. And then we get to the time of the judges and the time of the kings. And think about King David. When he wrote that 22nd Psalm and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those are the words your friend spoke from the cross, wasn't it? As he looked up in heaven. By night and day, I cry out to you. Do you remember how your friend was on the cross and it was daylight? But then for 3 hours, the world turned dark. They talk about how they make fun of me, saying he depended on God. Let God protect him now. Those are the same words that the critics of Jesus said when they were outside the cross. David talks about his mother. Do you remember how the mother of Jesus was at the foot of the cross? I'm poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart's like wax. My tongue is dried up. Do you remember how your friend on the cross said, I thirst? And they gave him the water and the vinegar. They pierced my hands, my feet. Do you remember how your friend was nailed to the cross? They divide my garments among them, and for my raiment they cast lots. Do you remember how the Roman soldiers did not want to tear the robe of your friend apart? And so they sit down instead and cast lots to see who get the robe. And I'm sure those travelers were listening and just kind of astonished, like, well, you know, we knew those scriptures and we've heard them many times, but we never thought about that way. And then the one I think is the mother load. Do you remember what the prophet Isaiah said? Who has believed what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of others, a man of sorrows, acquainted with different grief. And as one who hid others from their faces, he was despised, and we had held him no count. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we account him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that for the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could imagine his future? For he was cut from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. And at that point, they probably nod their heads that that's true. Jesus died like a criminal. And yet, at the end of the day, he was buried in the rich man's tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, in the garden that's outside Calvary. Yet, it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous. He shall bear their sins. Therefore I will allot him a portion of the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he poured out himself to death. He was numbered among the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you not recall how your friend from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He interceded for those who were hurting him. And perhaps at this point, they were outside the inn, and the two travelers going in, and there's the stranger just, and they said, no, no, no. And I like the King James Version, no, said, abide with us, stay with us. The night is falling. It's dark outside. There's thieves and robbers and wild animals. There's no street lights. There's no 911. Stay with us. We're safe. And so the stranger accepts their hospitality. Yeah. Remember the author of Hebrews said, always show kindness to strangers, for some entertain angels unaware. And there they are, sitting together, having supper. And the stranger takes the bread, he blesses it, and breaks it. And I can like to think, as he handed out that bread, he pulled back his sleeve a little bit, and they saw the nail pierce in his hand. And then their eyes are opened spiritually and physically, and they realize it's the Lord, it's Jesus. And then Jesus, being that resurrection body, was gone. And they said to them, each other, did our hearts not feel strangely warmed as he opened the scriptures to us down the Emmaus road? And so what do these two do? They go all the way back to Jerusalem in the dark to tell disciples, we have seen the Lord. They could not keep it to themselves. They couldn't wait till daybreak. They said, we got to go back to Jerusalem tonight. Meet the disciples and say, we have seen the risen Lord. And when they got there, he said, yes, he is risen. He's appeared to Simon Peter. And how I would love to be with those two travelers, listen to Jesus, the Word of God, explain how all the Old Testament scriptures, those Jewish scriptures, the laws, the Psalms, the prophecies, all pointing towards him. It was there all along. It's like when you watch those old Sherlock Holmes movies, the clues are there all along, but it took one person to put them all together. With Jesus, all the laws, the Psalms, the prophecies all came together and found their fulfillment in him. Thanks be to God. Amen.